welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, thanks so much for joining us on the DriveCast today. Coming off of Wicked for Good, fascinating movie in a lot of different ways. The thing that I ended up really focusing on, it was a couple different directions, but this conversation, one of the critical conversations of the film that I believe encapsulates the really most prominent theme of the movie, and Elphaba, along with Glinda, go to Oz, and Elphaba says this: "I would give anything to go back to a time when I actually believed that you were wonderful, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. No one believed in you more than I did, but there's no going back, and we can't move forward, not until everyone knows what I know, and once they know the truth." And then Oz cuts in, and he says, "They're not going to believe it," speaking of the truth. And Elphaba returns, "How can you say that?" And then here's really where things get interesting. He says, "Take it from a wise old carny. Once folks buy into your blarney, it becomes the thing they'll most hold on to. Once they've swallowed sham and hokum, facts and logic won't unchoke them. They'll go on believing what they want to. Show them exactly what's the score, they'll just believe it even more." And then he goes on to say, "The truth is not a thing of fact or reason. The truth is just what everyone agrees on." And so in this, the whole movie sort of then delves and wrestles with this concept of what is good and what is evil. Elphaba, who is really the most good of all of the characters, she's certainly flawed, but has the most sort of upright character. You know, she's cast as the evil one, and then the wicked people, really, they're often cast as the good ones until things unravel and eventually the quote-unquote truth comes out. But it's left very much in this subjective realm of what is good and what is evil. And while that might seem like a new concept, and while I've often referenced that Oxford Dictionary's Word of the Year in 2016 was post-truth, this systematic dismantling of having confidence in what is true is critical in the life of a disciple of Jesus. Obviously, in the everyday life that we live culturally, relationally with others, if truth is dismantled, everything else crumbles. And while that might seem like a new idea, it actually isn't at all. As the author of Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. And it reminded me of the passage in John 18 after Jesus has been pulled through multiple sham trial after multiple sham trial in the night of his arrest and betrayal. He gets to Pilate, and Pilate is asking him about if he's a king. And so I'll read some of the text here for us. "So Pilate entered his headquarters again," this is John 18, starting in verse 33, "and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And Jesus answered, 'Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?' And Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?' And Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world.' Then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' And Jesus answered, 'You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.' And Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?'" So here Pilate is basically saying, look, the audience or the crowd outside of my palace is demanding your crucifixion. If I crucify you, that's going to make my life easier. And what he's doing is he's making truth subjective to whatever fits his circumstances. He's saying, what is truth? What does it really matter? What is objective reality? What matters is what is best for me right now. And if I can determine what's best for me, irregardless of what's true or not, that's going to set me up for success. And interestingly, back in Wicked, that's essentially what the wonderful Wizard of Oz says. He's like, look, what matters is really what people want to believe. And that's what people are considering to be true. And so then what do we do with this? Well, going back to Jesus' words, I think one of the great dangers of discipleship and of following Jesus is being ignorant of lies that we're believing, of mistruths that maybe we're holding on to as true, that we've been fed by the world, perhaps the idea that our identity can be formed and shaped autonomously, or that our identity can be formed and ought to be formed and shaped by others' expectations of us. That's a lie that we can believe and we can live out, and ultimately it leads to brokenness. The ultimate truth being that our ultimate identity is received from Christ. It's not achieved. But in this, Jesus says, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose," again, we already read this, "but I was born for this purpose. I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth." And now here's the key: everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And so the inverse of that then is everyone who is not of the truth doesn't listen to my voice. Everyone is not of the truth doesn't hear what I say. Everyone who is not of the truth doesn't obey me. And here, I think, is where things get a little bit more clear from an everyday practical discipleship standpoint. If we want to live in the truth, do we listen to Jesus? That's really it. Is Jesus, while he is truth personified, do we obey him as that? Or do we casually give a nod to him once or twice a week, but fail then to really surrender all of our life, all of our motivation, all of our pursuits into his reign, his rule, his authority? Jesus says, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So whose voice are we primarily listening to? Are we listening to the external voices that maybe are encouraging us towards something that really denies Jesus or that lives in rebellion of him? Or are we focused on his voice in our lives? How much time are we spending in the Word, reading, studying, praying? The Bible says of itself that is powerful, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it is living and is active. It has the ability to shape us and to change us, to rewire us. Jesus says of the Bible that all of it ultimately points to him. And so do we spend more time mindlessly scrolling and maybe subliminally being changed and transformed by the things we're consuming? Or is Jesus our center? Is he the ultimate truth that we are basing our lives on, our decisions on, our purpose, our goals upon? And so are we in the truth? Are we listening to Jesus' voice, or are we rejecting it? And that's really the question I have for us this morning, or this afternoon, this evening, whenever it is you're listening to the Drivecast. And with that in mind, I just want to pray toward this morning. Thanks for joining us. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. But let's take time asking the Lord to really work in this area of our lives in only the way that he can. Father, you do come to you just, Lord willing, with a surrendered posture to say, are we listening to the voice of Jesus? Jesus, are we listening to you? Father, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to work inside of us to reveal areas where we are rejecting you, reveal areas where we're believing lies, reveal areas where we're pursuing falsehoods. But we want to be of the truth because we want to be of Christ. Because he is the ultimate truth. So Father, again, send your Spirit to help us in this area, so that Jesus, you would be glorified in and through our lives. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.